Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Today's show is brought to you by Show Dog Prep School. Online courses, webinars, and mentor programs on demand at showdogprepschool.com. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I have a really special guest today. Steve Feldman is the executive director of the Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, which is a fascinating place that I just learned about while I was at the NAIA conference in Orlando. So, Steve, thank you. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing your information with our listeners.
Well, Laura, thank you for having me. Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, we say HABRI for short,
yes,
and that'll save us a little time.
Yes.
And our website is HABRI.org, so that'll be easy for people to remember.
Perfect, and we'll make sure we have links, because there's going to be a bunch of stuff we're going to go over that people, I think, are going to want to go take a look at physically on our website and on yours. So,
great.
Excellent. So give us a little bit of 411. Tell us what about yourself a little bit and what got you started with HABRI and what does HABRI actually do?
Well, so I'm the executive director for HABRI. I was also the first employee at HABRI. So we're a relatively new organization. And just in case anybody was interested, I got into the animal world. The job I had before this, I was at the Association of Zoos and Aquariums.
Okay.
So I went from elephants and tigers to dogs and cats, and I'm much happier.
They're smaller, definitely smaller, less poopy.
So the organization is primarily a research organization to study the interaction that we have, that mutually beneficial interaction we have between people and their pets, the human-animal bond. And it is mutually beneficial. Pets are good for human health. Most people who listen to this show probably know that intuitively, how good their pets make them feel. But we can actually study that scientifically and document how pets are good for our hearts, pets are good for our mental health, and, you know, we can look at how pets are good for kids with autism, veterans with post-traumatic stress, all kinds of ways we can study this. And so we're one of the centers that really studies this growing field of science that says that pets are important for our lives.
And I think that is amazing and incredibly applicable to purebred dogs and to the preservation breeding of purebred dogs. And, you know, that ability to choose the purebred dog that best serves your needs, I think is really important.
Well, you know, so a strong bond between a pet owner and their pet is when you get the maximum benefits. That's
right.
When it's going to really boost your health, and that's when it's going to be the most beneficial for the animal. And the way to really have a strong bond is to make sure you choose the right pet in the first place, to have the right dog. And for people to have those choices, choose just the right dog for them, that's where all of these wonderful breeders come in, because they offer that amazing choice.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, and like I said, I want to make sure I give a shout out here. National Animal Interest Alliance, the NAIA conference in Orlando, is where I first heard your discussion on this. And I have to give them a mad props for introducing us to such valuable research. So shout out to NAIA.
We were so happy to be part of that conversation and to meet all the folks at their meeting.
Yeah.
And part of our job beyond doing the science, of course, is to try and educate as many people as possible that this research exists. So that's why we were there. And that's why we're grateful for the opportunity to talk with you and your audience.
Excellent. So what I loved, one of the first things that caught my attention as I was listening to your presentation was this idea of dogs specifically, but pet companion animals and co-evolution with humans. And that concept I thought was really fascinating.
Well, and this is especially true for dogs. So for somewhere around 30,000 years ago, maybe longer, dogs and people started living together and we helped each other survive. We helped each other thrive in a harsh world. And so what happened was we really became connected in a way that profoundly benefits both species.
Right. And that hardwired in the brain thing is just fascinating when you look at some of the research you're doing.
Well, so there's a very famous study where the researchers looked at what was going on with the brain chemistry of the person interacting with their dog. And what they found was that good neurochemicals like endorphins and dopamine and oxytocin were all going up. And those are the things that are really beneficial to you when you have those things happening in your brain. And your cortisol levels, which is your stress hormone, those are going down when you're petting your dog. And the good news is the same thing is happening in the dog's brain. All those good chemicals are rising and the bad chemicals are dropping in their brain. So what's happening is we're both feeling good when we're interacting with each other. And that kind of neurochemical response is one of the mechanisms that make this relationship so powerful to help us recover from disease and to help us thrive as a pair, right? As human-dog pairs.
Right. And I love the fact that you have research, like data, not just we know this, right? Like dog owners were like, yep, that's true. But, you know, it's not just he saved my life. It's that, no, literally, he saved your life.
Well, you know, so for example, probably a lot of your listeners could tell a story either personally or somebody that they know of, I was sick and the animal never left my side. The dog never left my side. She knew what was going on with me and helped me recover. Well, there was a very famous study which showed that after a heart attack, if you had a pet, you were more likely to be alive 1 year later after a heart attack than if you didn't have a pet. So that's, again, documenting what so many of us kind of intuitively know, that animals can help us recover from disease. And by the way, if you have a dog, you're more likely to get your recommended exercise. You're more likely to have lower blood pressure and triglyceride levels. So having a dog is amazing for your heart to prevent heart disease. And if you're unfortunate enough to have an issue, it helps you recover. So heart health is one of the big things that we all can benefit from.
So I'm saying dogs are the fountain of youth.
Well, you know, there was a very large study in the country of Sweden. In Sweden, they have a national health registry and they have a national dog registry. So they were able to look at more than 3 million people over 12 years. Mm-hmm. And what they found was that they could correlate dog ownership with living longer. And especially for people who lived alone with a dog versus somebody who lived alone without a dog, they were much more likely to live longer. So we're starting to be able to actually show with research that dogs are associated with longer life. So you're not far off there.
I love it. I'm all over that. I'm going to live forever, right? Because I have 10. Okay. So I think I really love the research and some of the things that you showed us, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But the idea that was so powerful and following on this fountain of youth concept is that almost the idea of prescribing an animal for someone who has human health problems. And how do we even think about doing that?
Well, so first of all, it's kind of happening already. We did a survey of 1,000 family physicians. And first of all, near universal agreement, 97% of doctors said that there were health benefits to having pets. And when we asked them, had they recommended a pet to one of their patients for mental or physical health, more than 60% already had recommended a pet. Now, we asked them very specifically, would you consider prescribing a pet? And guess what? 75% said they would consider prescribing a pet for overall health. And another 8% said, you know, if you showed me the science, we could prescribe a pet for a specific condition. So doctors are not resistant to this idea. They're, in fact, doctors own pets in equal or greater numbers than the general public. So there's a lot of dog lovers in white coats out there.
Right.
So we have willing partners in the medical profession.
I love it. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, crew. Last month, I was filling you in on the Trupanion Breeder Support Program. And in case you missed it, this is a free program for breeders that lets us offer our buyers, our puppy buyers, a go-home day offer so that they can try out Trupanion and everybody has the peace of mind that that puppy is covered in case of any kind of an incident. But I was talking to Haran recently, and I didn't realize at the time that they actually have a breeding rider that is additional to the regular healthcare coverage that Trupanion offers our dogs. And so I wanted to bring Haran Greer from Trupanion back to tell us about it, because I was blown away. So welcome, Haran.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks for having me back. And I'm happy this came up in conversation.
Yeah, right? So tell us about it. This is pretty incredible to me.
Yeah, so I'll just start at the basics. You know, so if you join Trupanion, we just have one simple plan. It's 90% coverage for the unexpected illnesses, accidents, and injuries. And then from there, breeders can add a breeding rider coverage to make sure that they're protected from the unexpected things that can happen with breeding.
Okay, so what does that cover? What kind of things are you covering in your claims with the breeding rider?
So it's truly things that are unexpected. So anything that you can't plan for in advance is what Trupanion gives you peace of mind from, right? But with the breeding rider, you know, the most common claim that we see are for C-sections.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was looking through, I was curious just to see what kind of claims we have been seeing in the past year. I was surprised that pyometra payouts have exceeded what we've paid out for C-section.
Wow.
So the claims paid ranged from the lowest one that we paid out was $1,740, and the highest one to date this year has been $5,500.
That's pretty incredible. So how much does a person pay to add that breeding rider to their regular insurance coverage?
So that rider has variables. You'll want to give us a call or go to our website. The factors are things like where you live, what breed you have, is it a male or female, how old are they? And then the deductible. And those
right.
deductible options is where, you know, the flexibility comes in
mm-hmm.
for your monthly payment. And those range from $0 to $1,000.
Okay, beautiful. So check it out, listeners, puredogtalk.com. You can find the Trupanion website. Just click that logo and it will take you in to get lots and lots of information about some stuff that I think not all of us always think about. So thank you, Haran. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Laura. I hope to be back on soon.
So can you give us a rundown on just a couple of your research areas? I know ones that were particularly interesting to me, the autistic children and also the PTSD sufferers, folks, the wounded warriors and stuff like that.
Well, so I'll start with post-traumatic stress because this is one of the most important pieces of research and it's just published this year.
Excellent.
And what it showed was that a service dog for a veteran with post-traumatic stress was amazingly beneficial. They had lower levels of depression, higher levels of life satisfaction. They were even less likely to be absent from work if they had service dogs. And again, back to those stress hormones, we were able to measure their cortisol levels were much lower as a result of having service dogs. And, you know, so we've known that in general that dogs are good for victims of trauma, but this is some of the first research on post 9/11 war veterans with PTSD to show how beneficial this is. And one of the reasons that's important, by the way, is that the Veterans Administration doesn't yet support service dogs for veterans with PTSD, but we're hoping that with this science, we can actually change policy and make sure that more veterans have the benefit of a service dog. You know, one of the things I heard a veteran say to me once was, it's easier to stand on six legs than on two.
I love that.
You know, and when you add that dog, it really changes the equation. So that's one of the pieces of research that we're really proud of. I'll talk about the other one that you asked about, which was autism. We funded a project which showed that teens with autism, when they were undergoing social skills training, you know, having mm-hmm. trouble socializing, that when you incorporate a therapy dog into their social skills training, the training is much more effective. So the control group was kids undergoing normal training, and then the test group, they had a dog as part of their training, and the kids with the dog did much better in terms of their social interactions. And so there's a number of studies out there that show that a family pet or a therapy animal can really be beneficial for kids with autism. It's really important to consult with your medical professionals. You don't want to just rush out,
right.
get a dog for a kid with autism. You have to make sure it's right. But under the right conditions, they can really be helpful.
Well, and I think that there are an enormous number of organizations in this country that work on training specifically service dogs for very specific needs. And those are the kinds, you know, Canine Companions for Independence, which is a strong supporter of NAIA also.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things. There are places and people that will help in this sort of situation.
Well, you know, and so some people might be saying, well, don't we know a lot of this stuff already? And well, a lot of it's out there and it's happening.
Right.
But the way to make sure that as many people as possible can benefit from a dog in their life is for us to go and do the hard science to back all of that up. So
right.
sometimes the practice is out ahead of the science, and it's our job to make sure that the research is there so that we can make sure as many people as possible get dogs in their lives.
Right. And I think, too, that, you know, you were talking about the VA, but there's also funding questions. If we can, through the research that you are doing, if we can provide hard numbers to agencies that say, listen, you're going to spend less money over time treating this particular condition, whatever that might be, because you've helped provide a trained therapy or service animal, boom, you know, that seems like a real win-win.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in fact, there's some good studies. Do you want to talk about healthcare savings? There's some good studies that show that people who have dogs visit the doctor less often.
Right.
And if you visit the doctor less often, you spend less in the healthcare system. And we had some economists do just a very preliminary calculation that showed more than $11 billion is saved in the U.S. healthcare system because pet owners are just a little healthier.
Now, this is the kind of insurance reform I can get behind, right? Can you talk a little bit? We'll include links to some of these video clips, but what was your, you showed us some videos that were just fabulously well done. I loved them, loved them. So what was your inspiration for that, for really reaching out and educating that particular piece of your program, the education piece? They were fabulous.
Sure. Well, so we did a little research, and so I bet all of your listeners know what I'm talking about when I say the human-animal bond, because they're out there living it every day. But we did some research, and we found that the term pet effect really resonated with people. Like, they might not know what the human-animal bond is, but they know what the pet effect is when you say that to them.
Right.
So we partnered with one of our founders, Zoetis, which is a great animal health company. And we created the peteffect.org, and we shot some amazing videos, educational videos. I don't know if you want me to spoil it for people.
No spoiler. But, spoiler alert, you guys, they'll make you laugh out loud, for real.
But we try to use humor and really try and make the science shareable and accessible for people. So you can go to the peteffect.org, or you can find them on habri.org. And we hope people will go there and look at that and really try and share that information as far and wide as they can on social media and anywhere else.
Some of these things definitely need to go viral. I'm telling you, they're just fabulous. And so one of the things that I think is critical for people to hear is that, like any other research organization, you need support from our community as well as others. So let's talk to people a little bit about what they can do to help support and what they are specifically supporting.
Sure. So we've been funding original research grants now for 5 years. The good news is that some of those original research projects that from 5 years ago are finally starting to get published.
Right.
We're starting to see some really great research results, but we always need to keep going. We do this every year. As a matter of fact, we have a request for proposal that's out there right now. And so researchers are, even as we speak, submitting research projects to us, and we'll only fund the best ones. But the way we can do that is with donations and support. We do get some great support from across the pet care community, but we can always use a little bit more, and people can donate at habri.org.
Excellent. And so what is your most exciting one that you have upcoming? What do you think is your most exciting research project coming up?
Well, we have a couple of research projects that are looking at teenagers. You know, if you think about dog ownership, it's often associated with young children, or then adults, right? But there's this gap where teenagers are not involved in pet care. So we have a really interesting project where teenagers are going to go through a program to learn how to train their animals, to learn how to train their dogs. They'll go to camp with their dogs and learn how to train them. And the idea is that we can increase the mental and physical health of the people and the animals, of the teenagers and the animals, by having them work together. And that's a great project. But the other one that we have, a little more of a serious subject, we're looking at how interacting with dogs can help prevent teen suicide. And I'm really excited about that because that's an area that really is understudied.
Yeah.
And we think, you know, we could really make a difference for people if we understand how dogs can help prevent suicide.
Wow. Okay. That one kind of gave me chills. And just to give you a little, you know, anecdotal evidence for your research project on teens and dogs, I'll have you know that my mother enrolled me in dog care 4-H when I was 9 years old because I was shy and retiring and lacked people skills. So I'm saying.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, you know, social interaction is really big. The other thing we're working on, which I'm excited about, is this issue of social isolation and loneliness. you know, loneliness is now starting to be treated like a disease.
Yeah.
Because loneliness is associated with all kinds of problems. And so it turns out that dogs are really good at helping people interact with other people.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, they provide companionship all by themselves, but they also help you get out there and meet your friends and neighbors, just like you were saying.
Yeah.
So we're actually taking a look at how we can have communities and neighborhoods be more connected just by having more dogs.
I love that. Absolutely love that. I think that's beautiful. All right. Well, Steve, thank you so very, very much. I really appreciate your time. And tell me, is there anything else that is super high on your list that you want people to know about or go check out on the website?
Well, I just want to thank you, Laura, and thank your listeners, because we need more dogs in our lives. And they're the ones who are bringing us those dogs.
Yep.
And you can't have too many.
No, you can't.
and so I know that your listeners out there are so involved in breeding dogs, but they should think about this maybe, that they're involved in strengthening the human-animal bond. And that means they're not just responsible for healthy dogs, they're responsible for healthy people and healthy families and the health of our society. So what you do is really important, and I just want to thank you for it.
That is beautiful. And I appreciate you saying that. Thank you very much, Steve. You have a fabulous day and enjoy your son's play tonight.
That's right. That's right. It's going to be great. And thanks for saying so. And I appreciate being here.
All right. Have a great day.
Take care. You too.
And now a quick tip from our friends at American Dog Fancier. ADF is begging you, please do not use an unflattering photo of your dog, no matter how high the award. ADF can easily insert a great picture of your dog with the judge at no extra charge. Design is always included in the cost of your ad at American Dog Fanciers. Affordable show dog advertising. Mention Pure Dog Talk and get 10% off your first ad with American Dog Fancier. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to Laura at puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.